So next week we're going to look at 1 John. We're going to look at that as a series in the life of the church. And I thought, well, this would be a good passage to sort of link it across, because obviously John wrote 1 John and wrote the Gospel of John. So let's hear God's word speak to us. Starting at verse 1, chapter 15 of John. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you have been clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me you cannot do nothing. You can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. What a great passage. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for these words to sink into our hearts today. Lord, we need to hear these words. We need to hear you speak. And look, may they enrich our lives, and may we know you more as the true vine. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I love you. And without you, my life feels lost. I love going to you the first thing in the morning, and you are the last thing that I go to before I sleep. You bring joy to my life. You complete me. When I finish work, I run to you. You are my hope and my comfort. When I'm alone or bored, you are with me. To be without you for 1 hour would be unbearable. I'm so glad I have you in my life. Without you, I cannot do anything. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me with my mobile phone. We may laugh at that, but I think there's some seriousness to it. I think it may be true if you think about it. Has Jesus been substituted today by our love and comfort in technology? Are we finding more joy in our mornings and joy at night as we run to our mobile phones and run to the wonderful connections our phone brings us? Is Jesus challenging our hearts just in that example? Could we transpose Jesus in that and say, yes, Jesus, my life runs to you in the morning before my mobile telephone and all those sorts of things? I think it's a struggle. I would be convinced that I struggle in this. I'm convicted as I think about Jesus the vine. Jesus has connected you, if you're in Christ, to himself, the vine. It's not simply some add-on spiritual accessory to your life. I think sometimes people think that. Christianity is like an add-on accessory. I have my life, and then Jesus is tacked on, like my mobile telephone, to help me get through. Jesus connects you to himself so that you can have life in him, and that your life can share in his joy. That's what he just said in that passage. That's what he said, John said in 1 John 1:1-4. You can have life as you're connected to Jesus. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. I wonder if we look at our lives and wonder why we don't experience joy often, or don't feel like our life has hope. Maybe sometimes when we live our life as a Christian, we wonder why Jesus seems to never answer our prayers. And we wonder why we sometimes find it hard to follow Jesus. Could it be that we have got the vine and the branches around the wrong way? That we actually think that we're the vine and Jesus is tacked onto us as the branch, like our mobile telephone, like I say, just to make life easier. So today I want us to hear Jesus speak to us, speak to me, through John 15, that he is the vine and we are the branches, that we've got to get this right. But Jesus is the source of life for our lives, and he is the one true vine. And in Jesus, we become what he wants us to be as we connect our lives to him. We become the branches, but we become as what Jesus wants us to be. And like I said, I think we get this around the wrong way. There are three things I want us to hear Jesus speak to us from John 15. That Jesus is the right vine to connect our lives to. Secondly, finding our place as the branches connected to Jesus. So that's our second point we want to look at. Then we need to find our purpose as the branch connected to Jesus, and then fourthly, the result of what all this means. Well, how does this look for God's people? So the first point, Jesus says in verse 1, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. So Jesus makes a very clear statement. He is the only true vine, and that his relationship between him and the Father is very special, very intimate. But why is Jesus the true vine? Well, Jesus is taking his disciples back to the Old Testament, which was what they had as scripture. And to them, they would understand that Israel was the vine from the Old Testament. In Isaiah 5:1-8, you can look this up later, but it talks about Israel being the vine. Israel was a vine that God took out of Egypt and planted in the Promised Land and blessed the vine, and gave everything for this vine to flourish and bear fruit. And sometimes there was fruit, but most of the time there was dead fruit. And so we see this right for the Old Testament. Last year we did an overview of the Old Testament. We would have seen the faithfulness of God and the unfaithfulness of his people. So God gave them blessing upon blessings, but they failed to remain faithful, and so they'll cut off. But here Jesus is taking them to say, I am the true vine. That was an illustration of the Old Testament, but I am the true vine. Every branch, verse 2, in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So Jesus is the one who succeeded in obedience and fruitfulness where Israel failed. So he is the true vine, and in fact, he's the true Israel. And sometimes we miss this in Scripture. Because what we need is something greater than the Old Testament covenant. We don't want to connect ourselves to the Old Testament covenant because that failed to produce the righteousness of God. What we need is a new covenant, which is Jesus. A covenant not through natural birth, but spiritual rebirth. Hence, John chapter 3 gives us a glimpse of that. When Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, he said, you need to be born again. He's speaking to an Israelite. It's a spiritual rebirth that only the Holy Spirit can give us, and it's through his word, through Jesus' word, it happens. Jesus tells the disciples and us that they were clean because of his word. In verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. If we even look back in John 14, there's that great saying, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Often we think Jesus is in heaven building rooms. But when Jesus went to prepare a place, he went to the cross. That's where he prepared a place. He prepared a place, where I go, you cannot go. And then in my Father's house, there are many rooms. Yes, that is about that. But where he goes to prepare a place is the cross. And so that would make us clean and them clean, so that they would have an eternal place. Jesus said, "Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you." Jesus spoke these words to the 11 disciples as Judas was gone off to betray him. Judas was the unclean branch that had been cut off. Just like anyone, whether they're Israelite, any person that rejects Jesus is cut off. So now that Jesus has made us clean through the cross, we know that our eternal destination has been fixed by Jesus in him. That our place has been given by God, by God's grace through the cross, that Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is the only one that we can find life in. Not our friendships, not culture, not successes or gadgets. We cannot find life in those things. Jesus is the only source, the one and only source of life. That's our first point. But how do we live then as followers of Jesus? Well, how does Jesus change our lives as we connect our lives to him? And that's our second point. Jesus turns our self-centered life upside down. We think that life revolves around us. That's what our culture has really bred that into us. Life revolves around you. And we think that God and others are either stealing life from us or they should be giving us something for our life. But Jesus reminds us that he is the vine and we are the branches. Like I said, we often get this around the wrong way. Verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and they are burned." It's pretty serious language that Jesus uses. Now, this is the not so politically correct nice Jesus that we often miss sometimes in our culture. This is the words of Jesus. Jesus takes the idea also for us who maybe think we're self-righteous. Takes the idea that it's not our efforts or our goodness that gives us life. We cannot live life apart from him. We cannot produce the life we need without Jesus. All our efforts will fail. We will be dead and lifeless. A branch needs the rest of the vine to grow the fruit. It's pretty simple language. And we'd be a fool to think that we can have life without Jesus. But that's what we do, isn't it? Often. We want to be more independent. We want to have Jesus as our accessory. We try to find life and comfort in our phones, careers, friendships, success, whatever it is, relationships, whatever it is, rather than Jesus, the source of life. And we end up as a dead, lifeless branch. And if the branch is removed from the vine, then it cannot take from the vine what the vine offers. It's removed, it eventually dies. It cannot bear fruit because it's not connected to the very life and sap that brings it the life it needs. The branch must abide. That's how Jesus says that. Or remain. Some passages, some versions have that, in the vine, in Jesus the vine. That is, we the branch must be continually remain connected to Jesus the vine. Abiding or remaining is staying closely connected. It's very relational language. It's taking up permanent residence with Jesus. It's having permanently fixing our life to his. But it goes both ways. Notice that Jesus connects his life to us. In a sense, he abides in us. We are in him and he is in us. It's a fellowship. It's a partnership. It's the same fellowship that is experienced with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, with Jesus. It's a fellowship partnership, which is what John starts to talk about in 1 John. But our life is in Jesus. If we believe in Jesus, we've actually been grafted in and connected to the true vine. In fact, if we look at the rest of Scripture, I look particularly at Romans, we were dead. In fact, we were dead branches made alive through Jesus, grafted back into the vine. And that can be humbling when we think about that. So much times as our Christian faith, we want to grab hold of something that we can think, it's in me, it's in my strength. But Jesus says, no, apart from me, you can do nothing. But I think I think a living branch in Jesus, if we look at our whole culture now, it has to be far greater than a lifeless dead branch that's separated from him. We have to look at this and say, what value is it for me? I have life in Jesus if I'm connected to the vine. If I don't have Jesus, I do not have life. This is what Jesus is saying. Imagine that Jesus was probably walking around in the vineyard showing them. And they would have seen them being pruned. They would have seen the vines with the fruit. They would have seen the pile over there ready to be burnt. It would have been very real for these disciples. Very real. Imagine that pile of dead branches burning. Maybe it was burning there and they're saying, wow, that's life if we're disconnected to the vine. As we believe in Jesus, as we trust in Jesus, we are connected to him and we abide as living branches. And that the life of Jesus flows into our lives. It's the right DNA that we need. It's the vines DNA into the branches that produces the fruit. You know, grapevines produce grapes. And Jesus, the vine, produces in us Christ-like character. That's the goal. That's the goal. It's really simple language that profound for us to grasp. So that's our second point. We are branches and we need to know our place connected to Jesus. From there, as branches, we find our purpose in Jesus, which we sort of touched on a little bit. We are to grow in Jesus, to be like Jesus. That's our purpose. It's a life connected to Jesus, remaining and abiding in him. Verses 7 to 10. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know, our lives are abiding in Jesus, and his word abides in us. It describes a picture of Jesus and his word actively at work in us. Abiding in Jesus is to remain in his word. We need to be creatures of his word. His word abides in us. It's like the power, the fertilizer that grows us to bear fruit. A branch wants what's flowing from the vine to come through them so they can produce what the vine wants it to produce. And so we have Jesus. We need Jesus to flow through us so we can be like him. And how do we do that? Well, one area is we can go to his word and remain in his word, be creatures of his word. The commandments are what Jesus has spoken. These are the words that God, the Father, and Jesus, the Son, have spoken to each other. It's a bit confusing, but if you go to John chapter 12, verse 49 and 50, I think it really helps us understand what these commandments are. So if you go to that, John 12, just a few passages back, this is what Jesus said. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. And what I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. So I don't think this is just narrowed down to 10 commandments. I don't think Jesus is referring to it. He's saying what Jesus has spoken, the word of God, the living God, what comes from the Father that gives eternal life. This is the words. These are the words here. This means that every branch wants to please Jesus by getting into the word. Because in the word, you'll find out the exact things that God the Father and God the Son have eternally been speaking to each other. The same love that abides in them will eternally abide also in you as that relationship grows. That love will abide in us. Not because we're such loving people on our own, but because we are the branches connected to the vine. So his love flows through us and our lives blossom and bear fruit just as it does within the Father's relationship with the Son. There's this blooming, except for they're holy and we're not. But we flourish with the same fruitful flavour. And this may sound too good to be true, it may seem impossible, but hear what Jesus says to us. As a branch, if you ask, if you pray for this fruitfulness, God will give you the growth. Remember, without Jesus, you cannot do anything. The phrase, ask and it shall be done, is connected to bearing fruit for Jesus, not asking for a car. If you want to ask for a car, that's fine, but don't connect it to this passage. It's connected to bearing fruit. Notice that what follows, by this God is glorified. So Jesus is talking about you and me bearing fruit. us being pruned so we may grow bigger, tastier, godly fruit and have a life that resembles Jesus the vine. Jesus spoke some similar words to Paul, who wrote it down in Galatians 5, 20 to 24, the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I just wonder if we're often praying for the wrong things. We're often coming to Jesus and praying for the wrong things. Things less important to what Jesus thinks is important. Jesus is actually more concerned about you being fruitful in him than whether you get your house or car. He is concerned about those things, but let's get our priorities straight. It's good to pray for those things if needed, but don't miss the point of what Jesus is saying. I wonder if we don't receive things because we never ask for what Jesus is asking us to ask for. You know, Jesus answers prayers to bring glory to God, not to you. We get that mixed up sometimes. We want glory to ourselves, so we pray, Lord, can I have some glory on myself? They'll point to me. No, God's glory. God's will in Jesus is for us to be the fruitful branch. Very simple. Number one is to be like Jesus. Galatians 5, 19 to 21 speaks about the opposite nature of Jesus. It's the opposite nature of what we are to pursue. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Just in case if you haven't thought you might try and whack something in there that's not there, and things like these, Paul writes. Here is where we need to be praying for God, for Jesus, to be pruning those dead branches. If they're in our lives, they're the areas that Jesus declares dead, and we need his pruning on them. So we need to allow God's word, as we heard it this morning, to prune us and cleanse us. Maybe we sometimes think that it's in our efforts that remain in Jesus. Yes, there is an obedience. There is a remaining. But Jesus says quite clearly, without me, you cannot do anything. You struggle with temptation or sin. It could be that you're trying in your own strength, in your own pride. And maybe you keep on failing over and over again. Hear what Jesus is saying. You can't do it without him. Hear what Jesus is saying. You can't disconnect your life from him. And what you need is more of Jesus and his word and his commandments in you, so that Jesus will prune those dead branches through his word. Ask Jesus to bring fruitfulness into your life. These are the prayers that Jesus wants to hear. He doesn't mind the other ones, but these are the ones he wants to hear. These are long for. He's eager to give you growth, but often we're not asking the right kinds of prayers. Why does Jesus do all this? So God can be glorified in you, so that you reveal his glory day by day in showing our culture that you belong to Jesus and who Jesus is, the true vine. It ought to cause us to praise our God for his goodness, that he prunes us so he can produce good fruit. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. I don't even just heard that. Jesus wants to share his life with you so you can experience the joy he has already. The kind of joy, the kind of gladness, the happiness you experience with Jesus is much more joy than you can ever experience in this world, whatever gadget someone can give you, whatever relationship you may strive to have. It will not fill you as Jesus' joy will, because his is eternal joy. It's the same joy he experienced with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's our third point. The vine, in Jesus the vine, we grow as fruitful, joyful branches that give glory to God in the way we live. And we're having Jesus continually prune us as we bear good fruit for him. So our last point is the result in the sense of branches I want to say branches, because the result of being fruitful branches together is a community of people depending on Jesus. It's God's church. It's branches in fellowship. Jesus came to die, to graft us in into his family through the gospel, and because of that, out of that fellowship, community is formed. A community of branches that points people to the true vine. They reveal the love and righteousness of Jesus. Jesus came so that we can be gathered as people under him. That's our first, fourth and final point. Jesus said this in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for servants do not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it. These things I command you so that you will love one another. As we belong to Jesus, the same love that was in Jesus will flow through and be of us. The same commandment that was eternal within God the Father and God the Holy Spirit will flow in us. And it's not simply individual, it's a community of branches that belong to the vine. Visualize a community of people who love as Jesus loved, who are fruitful as Jesus is fruitful, and who allow Jesus to both prune themselves and prune each other. That's what we call the church, a community of people who are captivated by the gospel of Jesus, who are connected to Jesus the vine. Jesus came to connect people to him, to have a community of people connected to him under his rule. Jesus loved us all the way to the cross. He died for our sins so that we would become his people. We would turn one way and come back to him. He selflessly loved us who were selfish, who selfishly loved ourselves. He loved us. The same sacrificial love is working in our church's community, in our lives. And it's hard work. But we are the branches connected to the vine. We are abiding in fellowship with Jesus, growing each other, being there for each other. And if we're good at this, we have nothing to boast in except for Jesus. If we see dead branches because of sin, we need to be open to be pruned by the Word of God as a community. Jesus does all this for us so that all glory will shine to him, all glory will be for God. So what is Jesus teaching us today? Well, our lives as branches are eternally abiding in fellowship with Jesus. Therefore, our lives are directing people to the vine. He's our source. He's our life. You aren't the vine. Jesus is. So make sure people don't depend on you, but Jesus. Because we often do that as Christians. Point people to Jesus, the true vine. Don't be the vine for people. You need to know who you are as a branch. So regardless of who you are in the family of seed, I'm a branch just like you. Okay? And so your identity, just like my identity, is connected to Jesus. Your purpose is to bear fruit. But we need to be humble and know that there are areas in our life that does need pruning. We need to ask God honestly to help us in that. Ask Jesus to prune us and pray that we'll bear fruit for him, because he wants us. Why? Because he wants glory to go to God. It's not about you, it's about God. I wonder when was the last time you actually prayed, Jesus, would you prune me so I can grow better fruit? When was the last time you prayed? I wonder how many prayers Jesus has to say no to before he gets the right one he joyfully wants to say yes to. My guess is we haven't often asked. We've been trying in our own strength. We haven't understood what Jesus says. Without him, we cannot do anything. When was the last time you said, Jesus, I'm struggling in this area of my life. I know you are, that I know as the branch, it doesn't belong. And I know apart from you, I cannot do this. And see Jesus gracefully prune you. You know, remember, he's a gentle, patient pruner. You know, you think about pruning, and when you prune, you also got to not knock off the buds that are going to grow fruit. So often when we prune people, we knock off the buds that are trying to grow fruit. Remember how Jesus gently prunes you. He does that so God may be glorified, and so that you may experience a greater joy in him. Have you prayed like that? How else do we live as a branch? What's creatures of the word, abiding in the word, allowing it to do its work, allowing Jesus to speak to us, allowing the joy of Jesus to be in us. I wonder if your life has joy. I wonder if it's full. I wonder if you've been connecting your lives to the wrong things and hoping for joy in these things and keep on wondering why you're so miserable, because you've actually not connected to Jesus, the true vine. And so your life doesn't flourish. Your life doesn't bear fruit. Your life is maybe the dead, withered branch. Maybe your life is a bit withered. There's some fruit, but it's not flourishing. I wonder if Jesus is reminding you again who he is. Be connected to him. Maybe it's come a dry time of being in the word and in prayer. Come to Jesus and be nourished. The branch needs to remain in Jesus and remain the word and continually in prayer with the vine. Maybe your life doesn't believe anything about Jesus. I think it's time to wake up to that if it is. Because everything you pursue is not going to bring life and joy. It'll bring momentary, but not eternal joy. Jesus invites you to be grafted into him, the true vine. Maybe your life is somewhat in the middle. Maybe you've got a fruitful life that is connected to Jesus. And maybe your life is not the withered branch. Maybe in between. Maybe you're a bit of like a broken branch that's just hanging onto the tree, just flapping loosely. You're connected to Jesus, but you sway with the wind and often feel very insecure as a branch. The fruit is small. You struggle to have life. You struggle to have joy. The good news is you're connected still to the divine, Jesus. Even the smallest fruit is because of Jesus. But Jesus doesn't want you to be that kind of branch. He is the gardener. Well, God is the gardener. The Father is the gardener. Allow him to graciously take hold of your life and in his love bind up your branch and heal you back into the fullness of the vine where you're secure and nourished. Our lives find meaning in what we connect our lives to. Don't fool yourself to think that your phone, your friend, your career or money or anything else can give life and joy. Hear what Jesus says. He is the vine. Without you being the branch connected to him, you cannot do anything. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a reminder. A reminder of our life is connected to you, that we cannot do anything without you. Lord, help us to be one who is creatures of the word and creatures of prayer, that we depend on you in everything. Lord, we know so often we do get distracted. We do trust in many things that our culture throw our way. And we get busy. But Lord, just as we think the thought of leaving our house without our phone would be heartache, Lord, how can we even think that having life with you on a daily level would be not the worst, most unhealthy thing we could ever do? Lord, help us to be reminded of you. Help us as we start each day, we wake up and go, you are the vine and we are the branches. Lord, help our lives to give glory to you, to bear much fruit for you, we pray. We pray this because we need your help, Lord. Amen.